The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from his wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from Philippians chapter 2, and I am going to read. There are some verses there that were taken out, so I'm going to read those, and you'll see why when I preach the sermon. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him and as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will question you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, He will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I want you to see how this phrase or sentence rings in your ears. Respect my authority. I suppose it depends on who actually is saying that, right? But I've got to admit, when I hear that, my itching ears typically don't respond well to someone who says such a thing. And if you're at all like me, if you hear someone say something like that, you probably immediately get defensive, and the wall goes up, and something like this, either you say it or in your brain, respect your authority, huh? Well, who do you think you are? It's like the defiant rebel wakes up within me and I say, oh, well, you're going to try to tell me something I can't do? Watch me. We don't particularly like hearing those words because I think if we're all honest, I think you all are a bit like me and we have issues with authority. It's kind of built into our American DNA, honestly. But we don't like hearing those words, respect my authority. Well, for one reason why we don't like that is because when we hear those words from someone, it usually means that that person does have some sort of authority over us. And we don't like that. Again, it depends on who's saying it. But it sounds a lot to me like nails on a chalkboard when I hear someone say something like that. Now, sure, we can talk about exceptions to the rule. For example, there are indefinitely earthly authorities who quite often step outside the bounds of authority that God has established and given to them. And in that case, when they are overstepping their bounds, overreaching, we can and we should disobey those authorities. But the exception to the rule should never negate the rule. It remains true that God himself has placed people over you as authorities, in positions of authority. So whether your sinful nature likes it or not, this is how God has created, this is how God has ordered his creation. Of course, it starts in the home, with the husband being the head of the wife, and the husband and the wife together having authority over their children as their parents. After all, God has given to us the fourth commandment for our good. Of course, the fourth commandment is honor your father and your mother. But what follows? Why? That it may be well with you and that you live long on the earth. Or Exodus 20 that says, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And this extends also into the church. God has given authority to the office of holy ministry. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So it's very interesting. When Scripture talks about how we should honor, obey, respect those he has placed in authority over us, it is always for our good that we do that. The authorities he has placed over us are always for our good, he says, for our own advantage, that it may go well with us. This is true even in the civil realm. Romans 13 is quite clear that God has given authority to the government, and the fourth command extends into that as well. And this includes people such as your boss at work, police officers. It even includes former President Trump when he was in office. And it, yes, includes current President Biden, who, yes, indeed, is the current president of these United States. Now, if you're squirming in your seat right now, you kind of get my point. You kind of get the point. Our sinful nature does not like having someone over us in authority. Because if they've got authority, then that means we don't. We don't have it. And we want that. The truth is, we want to be in the authority. We want the ball in our own court because we believe that we can look out for number one, which is, of course, ourselves, better than anyone else. Even better than God. Whoa, wait a second here, Pastor. All right, so just because I don't like the authority that my boss has over me at work or the president or whoever, that doesn't mean that I have a problem with God's authority. Well, ultimately, who's in control over all things? God is, right? There's nothing that is outside of God's purview. As Job 38 reminds us, he is the one who prescribes the limits and the doors and sets bars and all of those things. We read it in our intro today. He determines the number of the stars, and he gives them all their names. Great is the Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And when we pray in Jesus' name, who lives and, yes, he's alive, he is risen. He reigns over all things with you in the Holy Spirit, we say. We close out just about every prayer. Ultimately, God is the one in control over all things. And yet, when the authorities are not overreaching, when they are not overstepping the limits that God has given to them, placed upon them in those positions of authority, again, those are the exceptions to the rule, but when they're not doing those things, then rebellion against those that God has placed in authority is indeed rebellion against God himself. And think about this. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, we human beings have had a problem with God's authority. What was the original sin? Eve took issue with God's authority. Satan got her to doubt that God always uses his power and might and authority for her good. Instead, she got to believe that God was withholding something, holding something back, something good that he was hiding from her. So she believed that it would be in her own best interest to grab that fruit and to bite it. It would be a good thing to possess the knowledge of good and evil. The original sin is rebellion against God's authority. Eve wanted God's authority, so she took it, tried to take it. And Adam quickly followed suit. Adam's, of course, not off the hook. So the world's been in chaos and disarray ever since. And all of this chaos that we see stems from man's rebellion against God's authority. All of it. All of it. It's the same problem that the chief priests and the elders had with Jesus in our gospel reading this morning. When Jesus comes into town, he speaks as one with authority. He teaches as one with authority. He powerfully demonstrates that he has authority over sicknesses, diseases, demon possession. He has the authority over those. And he had the authority even to calm creation itself, the wind and the waves. Who is this that has such power and authority? The chief priests and the elders gathered around Jesus that morning, should have willingly submitted, willingly humbled themselves before his so clearly abundant authority. And they should have counted it a joy to sit under Jesus' authority because it ultimately was for their good. But they didn't. They didn't humble themselves under Jesus' authority. Instead, they challenged his authority. Respect your authority? Huh. Well, who do you think you are? By what authority are you doing these things, they ask. Who gave you this authority? Well, now they've done it. Now they've done it. The Gospels over and over again show us that challenging Jesus' authority does not end well for those who do such a thing. With all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus countered their challenge with a challenge of his own. John's baptism, the baptism that they, the chief priests and the elders, refused. the baptism that they didn't think that they needed, because they self-righteously didn't think they needed a baptism of repentance, because, of course, they didn't need to repent. Foolishness. So was John's preaching and baptizing, was he doing that on his own authority? Or was he sent from heaven? Was he doing it on God's authority or his own? Well, of course, you and I know the answer to that question. John came preaching not on his own authority, preaching and baptizing not on his own authority, but on the authority of God Almighty. God is the one who sent him to do the things that we read about in Ezekiel 18, our Old Testament reading, calling the Israelites to repentance, getting them to turn from their transgressions that they have committed, that give them a new heart and a new spirit that they may turn and live. That's why God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. And wouldn't you know it, because of John's preaching, with all the authority of heaven, many crowds of people did just that. They turned from their transgressions. They were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But the chief priests and the elders refused. Both the word that John preached, which you and I, of course, know is God's very word, and the baptism that John performed, which, again, is not man's work, but God's work. And now, with all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus now challenges them, and he exposes their rebellion. He exposes their unbelief. Still refusing to humble themselves under Jesus' authority, but also fearing the crowd. They didn't want a riot or anything like that. They had to answer, "We don't know. We don't know." Gotcha. Jesus says, "Well, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Dear believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus' authority is not something that we can or should challenge. As baptized believers in Christ, we need to fight against our sinful nature's defiant rebellion against all authority, including God Almighty. We don't want to, as new creations in Christ, we don't want to, and we don't need to challenge Jesus' authority, because we know and we trust that he is not holding anything back from us. He is giving us all good things. He is not using his almighty power and authority to elevate and exalt himself, but to elevate and exalt you. That's how he uses his authority, for your good. It is always for your good. Well, how can we be sure of that? Because we know that he chose, as this is why I read those extra verses in Philippians, not to use his power and authority to domineer and to oppress and to keep you under his thumb. That's not why he uses it or how he uses it. Instead, he uses it to humble himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because of Jesus' death on the cross in your stead to forgive you all of your sins, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So as forgiven children of God, we do this. We bend our knee and we confess our faith in Jesus. We do this gladly. We do it willingly, and we submit to Christ's authority, knowing that he always has what is best and what is good in mind for us. Yes, within the boundaries that God himself has established for you, individuals and corporately, you can fight back against corruption of authority here on earth. Okay? You can use the tools that God has given to you and the authority that God has given to you, like voting, for example, or choosing where to send your kids to school, where you're going to donate your money, all sorts of ways that you can do these things, and we can discuss those things at a later time. I'd be happy to. We can and we should push back against the corruption and overreach of earthly authorities because they are overstepping the bounds that God has established for them. We do that all the while trusting and knowing ultimately that it is Christ who is still reigning over them and over all things. With all of his power and might and authority, he is in control over all of it. And therefore, we gladly humble ourselves before him. We bow before him. We confess with our tongue that Christ is the Lord. And we respect the authorities that he has placed upon us in this life. Because with all the authority in heaven and on earth, what does our Lord Jesus do? How does he use his authority? Again, our intro, it helps us. This is Psalm 147. He lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked aside to the ground. Every knee will bow to him in this life or the next. But he builds up his people. He gathers together the outcast. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounded. And of course, he forgives the sins of the repentant. If you remember when we confessed our sins and heard the absolution, I said, by his, Christ, by his authority. How does he use his authority? I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has no pleasure and the death of anyone. Respect his authority. Turn and you will live. For Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, always uses his authority for your good. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.